4, Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read the first three verses, and I'm going to speak on a subject tonight called why you can walk in God's calling. Why you can walk in God's calling. In Ephesians chapter 4, and verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this, the prisoner of the Lord, pardon me, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now Paul issues a plea here based on God's desire that each of us would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. And as we talked about a little bit before the prayer time, is that we are all members of the body of Christ, and that God has a particular function for each member of the body. That means each part of the body has a distinct calling. And as we walk with God and serve God, we can find out what that calling is. But the challenge is to actually walk in that calling, or once that calling is placed before you, to embrace that calling by faith and to actually walk in it and do the things that God would have us to do. As we talked about faith in a few different messages, you know, like I said, I believe it's the desire of God's people to do and fulfill their calling, but finding the faith and the confidence to go and do those things is where the battle lies. Because when the desire finally gets there to do the will of God, then sometimes the belief to be able to do what God says is sometimes lacking, or it is challenged by Satan himself. As we talked about, as we read Matthew 7, just before the prayer time, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. And the Bible says, and everyone that asketh receiveth. And it's really that simple, but the moment you read that verse and then you have a need, you're already battling why you don't believe you should ask, or you've already decided, or Satan's trying to help you decide why you will not receive if you do ask. And so many times you don't even bother, and you miss out on walking or fulfilling God's plan for your life, or being that strong functioning part of the body that God would have you to be. You know, it's a good thought too. Humanly speaking, the woman we go to the chiropractor, she says 80 to 90% of all illnesses are caused by stress. And now you think about the members of the body of Christ here tonight. And well, if a part of the body is ill, that means it's not functioning properly. And I dare say in churches today, 89% of all reasons why the body of Christ didn't function properly is because of stress. Now that's not biblical, but it is a good thought, because if we have stress, what are we not doing? We don't have peace, which is the lack of the fruit of the Spirit. If we are stressed, then we don't have rest. That means if I understand the Bible correctly, that means when I have stress, I'm not carrying God's yoke. Because he says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And things that are light don't really give you much difficulty, you know. I remember my cousin, I guess, I don't know what you call my wife, so I guess he's my wife's cousin. I don't know. Is there such thing as a cousin-in-law? But my wife's cousin, he heard that, well, he used to hang chickens for part of his training for a job, and he heard that I hung turkeys some time ago. He was telling my other cousin, he said, man, I can't believe you did that, because those chickens are so light, and that was killing me, and he's hanging a bird 4 or 5 times the weight, and you know, because he was thinking, he thought his burden was bad and compared to my burden, but you know what, after some time in prayer, my burden became light. Because once I understood and recognized that this is where God put me, and I asked God for the strength to be able to do that, that was one of the easiest jobs I had. In fact, my wife would tell you, after working in the corporate office for, I think, 6 or 7 months, I actually wanted to go back and hang live turkeys because it was so light and got it blessed while I was there, and I was able to witness so many people. But that was my yoke for that time. If I went back, it would not have been my yoke. Now, we see the Bible here saying, again, he's begging us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Why would you not walk in God's will for your life? You've given your life to Christ. That means you turn from your way to the way. Why would I not walk in God's will for my life? Either rebellion or just unbelief or being fearful. Now, Jeremiah chapter number 1, we look at a prophet of God who is about to embark on the calling of God for his life. And based on the fact that the Bible says God is no respecter of persons, we're going to look at some things that God told Jeremiah to encourage him and what he was called to do. And I hope you'll see that God would encourage you in the same way so you can actually walk in God's calling for your life. Now, Father, as we continue with the Word of God tonight, I pray that you would just dispel all doubt and unbelief in yourself and allow your servants to completely believe in your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse 1 of Jeremiah chapter 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. First thing, number one, why you can walk in God's calling is, number one, you were formed by God. You were formed by God. God knew who you would be and what you would be like on May the 30th of 2012. Do you know he knew that? Where you're at right now, even in your own spiritual condition, and God knew you, he formed you, and he knew exactly what you would be like this day. He knew what church you would be in, he knew what you would be doing, and he knows what your calling is and what your function in the body of Christ is. He formed you, and as he reveals that function, there's no reason to be afraid of that. There's no reason to have thoughts of inadequacy or inability or thoughts of lack of faith to be able to do what God has called you to do, because God knew who you were when he formed you, and he specifically chose you. In fact, what he says under Jeremiah, he said, I sanctified thee. That means he set him apart. Just as God set you apart as a particular individual, how you're distinct, and there's nobody else like you, God, in the same, did the same for you as he put you in the body of Christ. In fact, the Bible says, and I think it's 1 Corinthians 12, that he has set the members of the body as it hath pleased him. Maybe 2 Corinthians 12, verse 18. And so God formed you. You were formed by God. And so what God has called you to do, the way he has called you to live as a functioning body of Christ, he knew you. He knew your mind. He knew your fears even. He knew your social background. He knew the history that you would have. He knew what your childhood would be like. He knew what your formative years would be like. He knew what your years would be like when you, as a young adult, whatever stage of life you're in. He knew all those things, and he formed you. And he says, you are still what I would like to use and the person I would like to use. And knowing you, I set you apart to be and function as my particular servant. And that should encourage you, and that should give you confidence when all, because you know, isn't it amazing? When you finally get to the place where you know God wants you to do something, you start doubting yourself. Or you doubt the day of yourself. I say that. You know, can this really be done in this day and age? You know, should I really be doing this? Can I really live like this? And you look at even doubt your own faith. Can I remind you, you know, this is the faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. This is the faith that you hang your calling upon. This is what you hang your life upon. It's not even how you feel about it. You ever been faithful to God, but you didn't feel like it, and God blessed you for it? Or better than that, God blessed somebody else for it, for you just being faithful. And it's an exciting thing to walk in faith and just to do something because it's right and experience God blessing faithfulness. And it's no surprise that when you do actually walk in what God has called you to do, that number one, God is glorified. Number two, others are helped. And then you receive a blessing as well. And so you are formed by God. When you look at the calling of God for your life and the things that God has asked you to do, as a witness and as a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all called to be witnesses. Though the world says that there's times and ways and there, we get fearful because of political correctness sometimes of how do we actually accomplish that. Well, you were formed by God for this particular generation. And you are the ones, and I am the ones, that have been formed and sanctified to be able to reach the creation that God loves so dearly. I was talking to some of the staff members at the bank. They were talking about some of the atrocities that had just taken place recently in the news. They were talking about how the police had to shoot somebody that was actually eating the man's face. And it was and something else. They were talking about some guy that was 33 and already had 30 children that he'd fathered by various people. And just how there's the terrible ungodliness. And you know what the lady said? She said, Donna, one of the ladies that mentioned the answer is to the raising of the children. See, the answer is they must be, and I said, well, that's what the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. Because that is the only hope that people will not live like that. And the gospel, when it's put in as a young child, then they know those things, they'll receive it at a later age. And we are the witnesses. We are the ones that God has chosen to reach those people so that they do not commit those atrocities. Now, number two, verse 7, you'll see you were given a promise by God. You were given a promise by God. Let's read down to it, I guess, and starting in verse 5 again. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. You see what he's saying? He's looking at his own ability. That's why he can't do what God wants him to do. You may be here tonight and you feel, you know, I really want to fulfill my role as a body of Christ. And first thing you do is think, well, I tried to give all to God before and it hadn't worked out. I tried to do this before. I tried and I tried, oh, I did, or whatever I thought. And God says, that's not what it's about. It's never about you and it's never about me. It's always about Him. And He says, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. I mean, don't excuse yourself based on what you think your weaknesses are. Did not the Bible say, for when I'm weak, then am I strong? Can I encourage you? We're all weak, but God still wants to use us anyway. you know, and the only, like I was telling in Beauvoir, I said, the only reason I can help people is because I've mentioned here is because I failed more than most people. And just to give you confidence, you know in advance, I'm a good failure, but I have a good Father that allows me to be used in spite of who I am. To say that I'm a child, no, he says, here's the promise here. He's got his calling. He says, for thou shalt go. Thou shalt go. So it's not about you. I formed you, and you shall go. You know, when God has a function for you, you can do that function. And His promise was to him, He said, say I'm a child. He said, for thou shalt go, notice this, to all that I send thee. Do you know that if you will surrender to God, you will accomplish everything that God wants you to do? Now, the thing of it is, we don't always know exactly what God wants us to do. But as that's where the daily walk with God comes in. You know, so many people, I believe, accomplish much more than they ever thought they would do. And most people that are faithful servants accomplish more than they think they did, because much of what we do is by faith. Well, all of what we do is by faith. And many times before this life is over, we never see the evidence of what we really allowed to get, that God really used us for. That's what keeps it a work of faith, and God seeing that we love Him and we serve Him just because of what He said. And see, the goal of a Christian is to please God. And so the promise is that if we yield to God, we'll be able to do what God says. That doesn't mean we may not see the results. That's not why we do it. We do it just for the surety of knowing we can please God and do what He wants us to do. I mean, what else in life could be so blessed just to know that God blesses faithfulness? He gives Jeremiah a promise here. He says, forget about the fact that you think you're a child. Forget about you think that you're inexperienced, whatever comes with thoughts, whatever excuses that would be within your mind while you're saying that you're a child, and that's the reason why I can't use you. He said, whatever excuse you throw in with that, just don't say that, because you're going to go where I'm sending you. And because I formed thee, I know you, and I know exactly where I'm sending you. So regardless of even what you think of yourself, you can do what I have called you to do. Anybody believe that? Regardless of what you think of yourself, do you believe you can do what God has called you to do? Anybody believe that? All right. That's what we're trying to get to. So we need to get there. Number three, you are given protection by God. Verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now God knows that you and I, when we set about to do the work of the Lord, we're going to experience opposition from people. And isn't it amazing? Some of the greatest, some of the things that hinder us from serving God is not, especially in North America, it's not threat of death. It's not threat of religious persecution. It's not that they're going to come in our homes and take our families away. It's just the look on somebody's face when we try to either praise God publicly or just to tell somebody Jesus Christ. Or sometimes when we're thinking that person needs to be born again, and we're thinking about giving a gospel tract, and we just look at their face and it's already over before it even started. God said, don't be afraid of their faces. So I am with you to deliver it. He said, in worst case scenario, if I've got a function for you, you will finish your function. Don't be afraid. You will do what I've called you to do. And when it's over, then you'll have your appointment with death, just like everybody has. And see, the encouragement is, we're not supposed to be afraid of death, because we're all going to have that appointment. And the confidence is knowing that, if I walk in God's calling, I may die tomorrow. But that'll be God's appointment, and that's okay. Because God's timing is better than my time. If I'm a faithful servant of God, I may go in and die, but that's all right. I won't die because of their faces. I will only die when God is ready for me to be with Him. And since I trust God, He loves me enough to give me eternal life, then whatever number of years in this temporal life He gives me, to God be the glory. And thank Him for that. But He says, He tells Jeremiah here, don't be afraid of their faces. I am with you to deliver thee. He said, and this is what you need to take away from this. Physical man is never a threat to God's call on your life. Physical man is never a threat to God's call for your life. That's what He's telling you. Don't be afraid. No more fear doesn't come from God anyway. We've said that several times, and we'll say it again until hopefully somebody catches the glory and believes it, And each time God had to speak that to you personally, just like Micah came the other day, I think the day before yesterday. He said, Papa, I was reading the Bible, how God said, let there be light. And he said, I just got to thinking about that God is powerful. That God could just speak it and there be light. I said, that's right, son. Amen. And I can't tell you the number of times he heard that, but now that he can read, he was opening up his own Bible and he saw that in there, and he said, wow. And that God speaks and there's light. Now we begin protection by God. And number 10 here, and this one, if you, hopefully it's all helping you, but this is one you need to understand. Number four, you were given a position by God. You were given a position by God. Now notice verse 10. See, I have set thee, pardon me, I set this day. Let me start over. I can't read right now for some reason. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. Now see, he gave him a position. He said, Jeremiah, I've established you. I've set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. So easily we allow ourselves to be moved by... We know what we do? We allow public opinion to tell us what our place is in Christianity. We allow public opinion and the world to tell us how and what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. Just like every winter and every holiday, people call the church for money because the public opinion establishes that the church is there to give money and to help people in times of financial need, which we don't mind doing. That is one of the things that we can do, because the Bible does say give to those that are in need, but that's not particularly our function. And Peter and John established that when the lame man came to them begging for something, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He said, I'll give you something better than money. He said, that's not what we're really here for. But I'm saying we have to be careful that we do not allow public opinion to show us or to convince us of what we think our position in this society is. God says to the New Testament church that ye are the light of the world. You know, with the things I mentioned about in the news, we should not be cowering because of those things. We need to be thinking that you and I are the answer to the next young man, boy, or girl, so that they don't do something like that. We are the light. We are the deliverer, so that they do not walk in darkness and do such terrible things like that. We are the one that God has established to reach, and even if I don't know if the person died that they shot, but we're the one that can even rescue that person in the midst of that sin. That's what the Bible talks about, visiting people in the prisons, in the jails. But God has given us a position. He said, you are the light. He said, you're a witness. He said, that's why he said, let your light so shine before men, that they can see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. You have a position. It tried to make it clear, you know. It says, like we're here tonight, we're learning the Bible. We don't just shine the light here, because the people in darkness can't see it. We gotta go shine a light where the darkness is. We gotta shine a light where somebody that needs to know about Jesus Christ is. And that's what you've been given. That's the position. God set you in this world, and he set me in this world to be that light, you know. I always meditate on what I hear people say, because it's always important, you know. It's, someone was sharing with some of the thoughts that, and I think you kind of reiterated from your devotion about how, you know, we need to exercise, basically, I'm restating, but exercise our faith, basically. If you don't exercise, you just even get tired of eating, you know. You know, I think part of the reason is that we're on such a food craze in the world, and that all these new types of food is because, you know, we don't exercise enough, and so therefore we're not satisfied with something that's good for our body. We try to get something new and flavorful, or ear-tingling, as the Bible would say, because we just won't eat the meat that's set before us and be content, you know. But when we really exercise, you know, when you exercise and you work hard, a hard day's work, it's amazing. When you walk in the house and you see some food there, it don't matter what it is, all of a sudden it looks good. Hey, you worked hard. Hey, back, I remember when I was in Dallas working on that $30 a week budget, I had rice and beans. I said, when I walked in the house, I was hungry. I can never remember saying, oh, rice and beans again. I remember being there, man, rice, I'm ready, man. Because I was working and I was doing those things. Hey, just like when I told you before, when I hung live turkeys, hey, prison food sounded good, you know, because I was working and I was so thankful to have a free lunch from a prisoner. And you know what? How does the Bible say to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet? You know, when you're exercising your faith before the Lord, walking in your chosen position of God, the bitter things are even sweet to you, because you're just thankful you heard from the God that called you. And even the bitter things, they strengthen you, you know? And amazingly, if you ever take any type of herbs when you're sick, some of the herbs are bitter that actually help you, you know? And they strengthen you. And as you walk in the reality, don't let man determine what your position in this world is. Let God and his word determine that. And once you recognize that position, don't let anybody talk you out of that. You just walk in that. And the people that love God, even if they don't understand what you're doing, they'll love you anyway. And by the way, if you walk in that position, you'll be so in love with God and you'll be happy and so content, you won't care if they care anyway. You'll love them, and you'll love them in spite of them accepting what you've been called to do. And you'll just go on and you'll just be thankful and you'll be content. And just for years, people criticize for having so many children. You know, but I can't imagine life without one of them. And I thank God for each and every one of them. And because that was what God has called us to do. And I'm thankful for that. And God may call you to have want, he may call you to have none. And whatever God calls you to do, walk in that with confidence and authority and just, hey, rest in that. Whatever God's asked you to do, but if he's, just like he's called us, guess what? He'll enable us. We've got promises that we don't faint, we have strength. And when we walk in that calling, then we have the strength to do what we call to do. And you as a member of this body of Christ, when you walk as a functioning body, when you accept that, then you have the strength for your bodily function. But you know what? If I'm a foot, so to speak, I'm not going to have very much success being a hand. I can covet what the hand does, but it's not going to help me. I better just be a good foot. But you know the thing, like you said, we're all witnesses. But what that means is, that'll mean you're not supposed, like you hear about some of the crazy things I do when I witness to people. That you don't have to imitate what I do. But you are, what you need to find out, okay, if there's one consistent thing, that things, when I am witnessing properly, there's some type of boldness that does show forth itself. So you need to find out from the Lord, how are you to manifest the boldness to witness the gospel of Christ? And then you walk in there. See, what modern Christianity does is give us a plan and a program. We're supposed to imitate one another instead of just being led by the Spirit of God. But you were given a position. He tells him right here, he tells him, again, he says it, I lost my verse 10. He says, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. Last thing we see here, number 5, you were given a purpose by God. You were given a purpose by God. As a witness, you're supposed to witness of Jesus Christ. That's the light. You are the light of the world, so we testify the light of the world. And he tells Jeremiah specifically his purpose. And I was thinking about this. We all have the same purpose, to root out. You know what I'm trying to do right now with this message? I'm trying to root out some unbelief in the life of believers. I'm trying to root out any part of you that does not believe you can fulfill your calling as a witness in 2012. I'm just trying to dig it up. I'm trying to root it out. And I'm trying to get it out so you can actually function as a witness and experience one of the greatest joys that this side of eternity has to offer, which is a testify of the God that saved you. And for you to have the freedom to unashamedly testify the gospel of Jesus Christ, instead of wondering, I wonder how they're going to receive this, wonder how they're going to think this, instead of just thinking, this is what God wants me to do, and I hope they receive it, but that's not my greatest concern is that I honor the one that saved me, and I represent him properly in this situation, believing in the authority of the Word of God, and that he said it shall not return void. So even if it looks like they did not receive it, it will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose that was God's in it. I'm trying to root out that we, all these fears and these thoughts of how you have been convinced that you have to operate a certain way as a New Testament witness, instead of walking with God and the Spirit of God, as the Bible says, the wind bloweth where it listed, and having the wind blow you right to where you need to be, and all of a sudden, hey, this is a good spot to be because this is where the wind took me. I'm going to be a witness right here. This doesn't look like normal Christianity, what I've heard defined as normal, but I know the wind blew me here, so it's time, as a light of God, it's time to shine. And just shine unashamedly and shine boldly, knowing that your Heavenly Father is pleased, and that joy unspeakable and full of glory will overshadow you because you're pleasing the one that saved you. I'm trying to root out any fears that you've seen from the faces of individuals, any past experiences with man or religion, and to walk with God, have a relation with God, and just find your anointed purpose by God and just do it. And when you witness, you have to root out some things. You have to maybe root out some things of religion. Root out past experience, and to pull down. Some of you have strongholds. Some people, before they ever try to do things for God, they've already decided why it can't be done. They just need to pull it down. That didn't come from God. I'll say it again, fear is not of God. He has not given us a spirit of fear. But he gave us a spirit of power. Where is that? God gave the spirit of power. Power is, let me say some really deep, power is powerful. That was deep, wasn't it, amen? That's why they hired me here, because I'm a deep preacher, right? No, I wasn't hired anyway, I was called here, but it's powerful. There should be a spirit of power that calls you to leave this place in your calling tonight. But we remember how we read in Ephesians, in meekness and lowliness. It'll never be a power that you take upon, like, hey, look what I can do. But it'll just be, wow, I don't, it's just the power that I have, you know. That's given me by the authority of Jesus Christ. When I was in the military police unit, in the military, I had certain power and authority. But it was not for me. And it was never to take advantage of anybody. And any time I was in management, I had power and authority, but it was not for me. It was only to exercise the desires and wishes of the owner of the company or the people that were above me. And the most successful time I ever had in management was when I had to exercise my power and exercise it in meekness and in lowliness. I remember when God first put me in charge of that company that I hired on, just digging ditches, basically. And they put me in charge. And I said, well, first thing, the owner told me just go take charge of the meeting. I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, I know for you I've got the power to do that, but I want you to go tell them first that you gave me that power. Because they're going to understand, where is this guy that was three months ago working for me under the shovel, and why is he now telling me what to do? But then once it happened, then with meekness, I went out to the job site with the guys. I still worked with them like I did before. But I said, look, guys, this is what we got to get done. This is the timeline. I said, we can't take as many breaks as we used to take. We're going to get this job finished. And I said, and I'm going to help you get it done. We're going to do whatever it takes. And then if there's a problem, then I said, now, I'm not asking you. I'm saying, this is what we're going to do. And I said, we're going to do it. I'm not trying to put anything on you that I'm not doing myself. We are going to get this done. Because this is what the job requires. This is not my desire. This is what the contract says. These are the deadlines. And this is what we're going to get accomplished. And when you have that purpose, you can have confidence walking that purpose. But see, his purpose, he had to root out, he had to pull in. And you know, he actually had to destroy some things. You know, there's some things sometimes I'm trying my best to destroy in every one of you the spirit of fear. I'm really trying my best to just destroy the spirit of fear. Because, man, it's a terrible thing to be fearful. There's in anything I've ever done in this world, and for God or in the world, fear is always a hindrance. When I play basketball, fear affects your game. When I play football, fear. When I play even squash, fear. When I work in the corporate office, fear. Fear of meeting deadlines. Fear of failure. Fear of not being able to get the job done. It's serving the Lord. Fear of not meeting man's expectations, which we're not supposed to be concerned about. Fear of failure. Even in trying to serve God. Fear of my own faith. Like Jeremiah said, I am a child. Fear. But that is not of God. He tells us so many different ways, so many different times, we're more than conquerors. He tells us that the spirit that I've given you is a spirit of power and of love. Do you understand, when you think about the love of God, you have been given the power to be long-suffering, to be gentle, to not vaunt yourself, to not seek your own. That is the power, that is the spirit of God that comes to you and me. We just have to yield to it. But I want to destroy in the life of every single believer that spirit of fear. And get them to believe what God has said, that he has power. And it's so bad, I just want to throw it down. That's what it said next, throw it down. Just get it out of the picture, amen. I wish I could just come and just kick it out of your life, amen. And kick it out of mine when Satan rears his ugly head. Because you know what? Sometimes people are so we're so insecure. And I say we as in general, if this isn't you, then the next point will be for you, don't worry about it. But as a people, we're so overwhelmed by fear and we're so dishonest about it. we try to cover it up in so many different ways, and instead of just understanding that, and that's why we react so much certain times to different things, instead of just continue going forward by faith, instead of just saying God is right. Just like that, the man with the demon-possessed child cried out, help me my unbelief. We need to cry to God, God deliver me from my fear. Lord, I see this, what your word says. Even like as we begin to pray, I see it says ask and it shall be given. I see that everyone that asks can receive it. Lord, I'm just afraid to ask. I hear what the Bible says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, but he that loses life, the same shall save it. Lord, I'm just afraid to lose my life. I'm afraid to give everything completely to you because I'm afraid I'm going to miss out on something that this life has to offer. Lord, I'm just afraid. I want to give you my all. I want to give you all of me, but I look at these things right here and I want what's here and I know your will is best for me, but I'm just afraid that if I give everything up to you, I'll just miss out. There's a Chinese proverb. I can't say it in Chinese because I don't speak Chinese, but the proverb is there's two. It's kind of like the what they say, the yin and the yang. It's about money. They say that one person dies and they have nothing. When one person dies and they have all this money left over, and they say what a sad way to die, to basically die and have all this money that you never did anything with. But then the other person dies and they have no money. And they both think, which is better. And basically they're saying, because the Chinese culture trusts in money. And that's the point of the thing. They have a trust other than what God is. And these competing thoughts, basically, you know, I would be glad, except that if I die for my family, I like to leave them something. That's why I have life insurance. So if I die broke, they can still get some money. You know, but it won't bother me that if I'm the last one alive to die and have given my last dollar away to somebody and die with absolutely nothing, because I can't take it anyway. I would love to give some great generous gift and all of a sudden just drop dead, and the last thing I did was to give it all away. That would be a blessing to me, because it's nothing worth holding on to. But what's better than that for God? Better than me thinking about giving away some money I don't have. God said, will you just lose your life to me and you'll find out that's what living really is. And there's times when that is absolutely so easy to me, when I can just wake up and rise and just serve in every way and just enjoy. And I experience the peace of God and the fulfillment of God just being a servant. And I've had wonderful days just serving and just going and going. But there's times, you know what? Oh, Satan says, when are you going to do something for you? What's in it for you? And he tries to get me to give my life away by trying to find it. But you know, if you could just throw down those thoughts that this life really has something to offer you that's better than Jesus Christ, man, we'd see some vibrant Christians. And we see some people just really enamored with God. And we see some people and just manifesting the glory of God, just shining everything they do because they lost their life and they found it. And you know what I really want to do more than ever now? I would just last part here, part of my purpose here. I want to build. I want to see you as in, I want your life to be the life that everybody that you know talks about. I want to build you up in Christ to the people who say, I don't know what Jesus is. I don't know if I'll ever go to God. But if I'm ever going to be a Christian, I'm going to go to his or her church. Or if I'm ever going to be a Christian, I'm going to find out from him or her how they found Christ. And I want to build you up to where is that you, man, you walk that powerful life in Christ. Again, not based on the authority of some church name or even some that I've said, but you've got in the Bible and the Holy Spirit of God has impressed you that you rise up tomorrow morning, and I may never even see it, but just you know you had a tremendous day for the glory of God, and even if nobody else saw it, you're happy you had it. And you went somewhere testifying of Jesus Christ. You went somewhere and everything given thanks for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you finally lost your life completely to God and you realized it was the best thing that ever happened to you and you couldn't believe why you fought it so long. And then you go invest in somebody else's life and you start throwing down. You start trying to root out. You're saying, you know, rooting out takes some effort, you know. When I was a little child, I didn't like rooting out very much. But when I was 19 and I worked for a plant nursery, and I liked rooting out. And you know what? Because by the time I was in my 20s, I'd been lifting weights, I was strong, and I liked rooting out because I like taking that string and pulling that thing up from the roots and just seeing that whole plot of dirt come with it. I'm just kind of crazy that way. You know, but when I was young, I thought, why can't I just cut the top off? You know, but if you just cut the top off, it still lives. And many times when we do Christianity, we just cut the top off and we never just dig down to the root and try to pull it out. And that's why, you know, I'm committed to being boring enough to talk about some of the same things again and again and again so that by the grace of God, when I drop dead or go to be with Jesus Christ, there'll be some things rooted out of your life and you'll be built up so strong in Christ, you'll just be glad and you'll be in love with God and be the best thing ever happened to you. But it takes some time to get, but you to root out, you got to get in the dirt, you know. Because sometimes what happens, even rooting out, if you don't grab that root, just that stalk just properly, pull it, you can break the top off, and you can give up there. You say, no, I'm going in. I'm going into the dirt now. I'm going to start digging in there, and I'm going to get that root no matter what it takes. Amen. By the grace of God. That's you do, and that's part of our purpose. People you pray for Christ. God, if there's some way I could be a light to them, show me how to root out whatever it is that's keeping them from trusting in you. Whatever it is, Father. They've heard the gospel. But Father, best I can tell, you put me in their life to be the light. So would you please, Father, show me how to root out that unbelief. I don't care what any church in Toronto does. But I know this, our church is supposed to be a church that believes every word of God. Father, would you help me to die to myself, to die in everything about me so that I can root out whatever it is, if there's any hindrance in anybody's life from being a Christian that believes that every jot and tittle was there for a purpose and every one is for your manifested glory. Father, help me to walk in my calling and to root out and to pull down and to destroy whatever it is that's hindering your sanctuary being built up in Jesus Christ. Don't want anybody here built up in me. Want everybody built up in Jesus Christ. You can't walk in God's calling because you're formed by God. Don't let Satan, when Satan tried to tell you about this, you know, Satan tells me I'm a failure. Sometimes I say, thank you for reminding. I already know, but God formed me. He chose me anyway. You know, I said, Satan, despite the fact I'm a failure, God says, still, just rise up, I'm going to help you. I'm going to use you anyway. And I would give a promise by God that with a repentant heart, the sins are gone away as far as the east is from the west. Hey, with confession of sins, I've been forgiven and cleansed. So that means I'm a vessel fit unto honor for God. Of a promise, so I can go. I shall go where God wants me to go. If I just yield to what His calling is. One of the most amazing things to me is, before we ever came to Canada, I thought I'd never be a missionary because missionaries have to go to different churches all around the United States, and I thought, knowing racism that exists in religion, I'll never be able to raise financial support to be able to make it to Canada. But you know what God told me? He said, "You'll go where I want you to go." And out of all the missionaries our church ever sent out, my pastor said that our support came in faster than anybody that's ever been out of our church because of God's calling. because God knew me and God knew my failures in spite of me. And it's not because of who I was, it's because God just formed me. And he just said, you know, since I formed you, if you just do what I said, it'll work, you know. It's amazing, you know, if you buy an electronic product, it's amazing. You know, a marvelous thing happens that if you work the product according to the instructions, it actually does what the instructions said it would do. That's amazing. Is that really any surprise? I mean, don't you expect that? You know? So why can we not believe that the God that made everything, that made the world and all that therein is, he makes us for a purpose and he gave us the instruction. And why do we doubt so much and have so much fear about our lives being able to operate according to his instructions? And then with God's calling, there's protection. I'll never fail to do what God wants me to do, but I'm yielding to his plan. You know, I found out that sometimes what I thought was God's plan was my plan. But God saw the heart that was yielded to him, and he even started off the wrong direction. God turns, allows me to get to where I need to be, and I can do his will in that particular time. And you've been given a position from God. Ask him what it is. Now, people would get attention and have all these spiritual gift type studies. You can take these charts and find out what your spiritual gifts are. And the Holy Spirit will tell you that if you just spend some time with God. When you take, they got these three booklets. You answer all these different questions about how you feel about this, what you think about that. And people have all these things, and they think, well, this is what my spiritual gift is. Well, I just can't find it in the Bible. It's a good idea, but I just believe the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse number 5, ask, and shall be given thee. If any man, pardon me, Matthew 7:7. James 1:5 says, but if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally. I mean, he's generous about it. You don't know what your spiritual gifts are? Ask. He'll tell you. He's generous about it. The God that wants to use you, why would he keep so secretive about those things? Many times we don't know because we haven't yet given our life. So why should we know what the gift is when the life isn't yielded to him in the first place? But oh, once it's yielded, oh man, there's no greater thing than just to do what God wants you to do. I wish I knew it more often than I do. With an honest heart, I can say there have been so many wonderful times that God has had all of me. But with the same honest heart, I have to confess there have been too many times where God has only had part of me. You know, those are some most difficult days I've ever walked. And those are some most fearful days I've ever walked. And those are some of the most powerless days I've ever walked. And those are the days where things just seemed like they were dug in so deep. But thank God, maybe through a good Christian friend, a good sermon, just reading the Word of God, God began to tug at those roots. He said, oh, Reiner, you're trying to live for that God that I saved you from. Yourself.